Moni Rabbeisai, our limud of halacha every day should be as chus for Yosef Dov ben Chailish to have a refuah shleima b'korev b'sor shol choyli Yisrael. And mazal tov to him on the simcha yesterday. Baruch Hashem. So, we started yesterday as an introduction to the next halacha that we're learning, speaking about the story of Eshes Ovadia, the wife of Ovadia Hanovi. Now, Ovadia hid 100 Nevi'im in the cave, in two caves. Achav wanted to kill them, and they financed it by borrowing money from Achav's son, Yehoram. But her husband died, she couldn't afford the repayments, she couldn't afford to feed her family, and now... Yes, it was Beribis as well, I think, as far as I know. But Yehoram was Rosha, Ben Rosha, Achav's son, and it was interesting, obviously, that the finance to save the Nevi'im came from the house of Achav. But that was like that was a Nagav thing. So, and she comes to Elisha Hanavi, and she says, I'm in major, major trouble. First of all, I can't afford to feed my family. Secondly, I can't service the loan. My husband was a tzaddik. He looked after all these Nevi'im. He saved their lives. And as a result of that, left me with massive chayvos. And Yehoram is coming to take my two sons away. He's coming to take my two sons away. He's going to take them as slaves because I can't afford to pay. So he says to her, "My yesh loch baboyis." He says, "What do you have at home?" And she says, "Ein kol baboyis." She says, "My house is empty. I have nothing. Kiim osuch shemen. I have an amount of oil." And the amount of oil, it says, Osuch Shemen from the Loshen of Sicha, I have a bit of medical oil. I've got a small bottle of oil which I use for medical purposes, you know, for smearing on my skin, all that sort of thing. I don't... Yeah, yeah, olive oil being a very good treatment. It's a moisturizer, certainly, for the skin. So she said, I've got a tiny little bottle of that, but that's it. Yeah, and he said, fine. He says, send your kids out and borrow as many bottles as you can. Empty containers, wherever you can, as many, go to all the neighbors and borrow as many, many as you can, bring them into the house. So he brought them into the house. This, by the way, is in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet. She brought them into the house, and he said to her, start pouring from the little bottle into the empty bottles. Yeah, and one by one, she filled them all up, yeah, as many as there were, until there were no more bottles. And he said to her that with what the oil that you've got, you should sell, and you should pay off your debts, so that your children are saved. You pay off your home what you owe him, and pay off your debts, and then you will live on. You will live on the rest. So why am I bringing this story? Because during our discussion about covering the knife on the table, covering the knife during benching, and then we had a discussion about covering the bread during benching in order shlo yira boshtoi when you bench on akos, there was some discussion that people said, are you or aren't you supposed to have bread on the table when you bench? And in fact, it's the question of whether you should have bread on the table, whether or not what you do with the leftovers of the bread that's there, and if you have no bread and you've eaten everything, do you bring bread to the table in order that it should be bread on the table? But the principle behind it is, one of the main principles behind it is what we just learnt. Elisha didn't make a nest. Elisha could have arranged a nest with the Rabbeinu Shlolam that bottles of oil should appear in her house. Right, full bottles of oil should just appear in the house. Or suddenly she should win the lottery. Or that, you know, it should rain gold and silver in her garden. Yeah, there were many, many ways of the Revolution giving up on us. And Afal Biken, he asked her, Ma yesh loch baboyis? Because there is an hog of the Rabbeinu Shlolam, the Matsuda says it there on the page, and the Malbim says it, and all the Mephoshim speak about it, that for some reason, which I'm not clear why, but the Rabbeinu Shem has a hanhoga that brocha is chal on something. If there is something there, then the brocha is chal on that, and then it sort of increases from there. But it's much more of an S, obviously, to make a yesh me'ayin. I suppose the Rabbeinu Shem minimizes nisim, you know, it only does as much as is absolutely necessary.
It makes out of nothing.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make Yesh Me'ayin. Of course he can. And he created the world Yesh Me'ayin. But nevertheless, when he does miracles for us, yeah, he minimizes that that he prefers that there should be something there to start off with, and then the Rabbi Shem can make the Brocha Chal on what is there and increase it. So we have to have something there. So therefore, that's the Inyan. That's one of the Inyanim that's brought down, is that there should be bread on the table at the time, because I'm going to say, Rachmanu Yishlach Lanu Baruchah Meruba Bavayis Hazeh V'Al Shulchon Zeh She'achalnu Olav. Right? I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Parnosa. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Brocha in the house. Therefore, there should be something in front of you. You should not be benching whilst the table is completely bare and there is nothing there, because hypothetically then there's nothing for the Brocha to be Chalon. Therefore, the idea is, I have bread on the table. Now's the Shaila. What bread do I leave on the table? And what about crumbs? And do I bring bread to the table if I haven't got? That will learn B'nai Edo over the next couple of days.
Nothing on the bread.
Start at El Toraway, Northwest London, Monday, Kaf 7, 16th of June, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin Shlita, Emonas, after me. This week's Torah is sponsored by Tanya Rasta, Dorfer, any rest of the Mitzvah, as this will be the Mitzvah Shabbos. The Shabbos eat Rotten, Shizka Hurub, Uz Kainam Rav Nachas, Yiminu Penitzech, Latahim, Discuss, Hashavuim, Vachayolim, Bamilchamo. Shachzvu levotayim l'shalom bimheiro.
Amen. Hey, good morning. This morning's Torahway, apart from the other dedications, is dedicated to Baruch Hashem and you, granddaughter of whom we just made a Kiddush, and Baruch Hashem k'nai nahor ken yu v'chen yifreitzu, and your grandson that was born on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, with everything going on overhead. So I'm wishing myself a bracha that the enemy should be flattened hastily and speedily in our day, so that I can get Eretz Yisrael for the Shalom Zocher and the Bris, the Shabbos, all being well, Mitzvah. Not hopefully via Egypt and Jordan, like some other people are attempting, but there are some boats apparently being arranged from Cyprus, so let's see. I've always wanted a cruise in the Mediterranean, so.
Not planes, no planes.
No, boats.
No, they're arranging ships, yeah.
They're arranging some ships, yeah. Anyway, and the bracha is we should always share simchas, I'm sure we'll hear b'suras tovas. Maybe the time, just at the end of a couple of minutes, I'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. But this week's parasha, for sure, very well timed with regard to current events, because Meraglim, Eretz Yisrael, I mean, that's not main focus, as the title implies, but it's just a thought that, and I'm only asking myself this, that do we appreciate Eretz Yisrael enough, both as a land, and even, and this might sound a little bit Zionish, but even as a Medina, because as a land, Eretz Chemda Tov Rechova, Tov Haaretz Moed Moed, in fact there is a Who was it that had a dream? There was a Rav who had a dream, and in his dream, Reb Tzadok HaKohen appeared to him. And this Rav, I don't remember who it was, but the Rav told Reb Tzadok HaKohen in his dream, no, it wasn't Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, it was the Chose of Lublin. Told the Chose of Lublin that a Talmud of his had been living in Eretz Yisrael for 30 years and still didn't feel the Kedusha. Wasn't feeling the specialness of the land. And the Chozer responded that in the parasha, this week's parasha, says, Tov Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. It's exceedingly wonderful, Eretz Yisrael. Ma'od, very, very. Where else do you find Ma'od Ma'od? In Loshon Chazal, the Mishnah Perek Yovis, Ma'od Ma'od Hevei Shval Ruach. So the Chozer said, if this person was more Ma'od Ma'od, Shval Ruach, then he would feel more that Tov Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. In other words, he's not feeling it because it's nothing wrong with the land, it's with the person himself. You have to be on a certain madriga to appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is. But it's quite clear that Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim and the whole cook and the attitude has to be one of positivity. What's the pasuk say? Ki rotzu avadechas avaneho. Only when Klal Yisrael desire Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim, desire Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'll give you Eretz Yisrael. But if you complain about Eretz Yisrael and you don't appreciate its value, So Hashem says, why should I give you a gift that you're not going to appreciate? Who wants to give anyone a gift that they're not going to appreciate? You don't want to give someone a gift they're going to appreciate. Because Bok says, I've got the most beautiful thing. It's the Eretz Chem Do Tov Rechava Sherot Siso. But if you want to be in Chantal Aviseinu, they need to show that you want it, that you desire it. And that's the land of Eretz Yisrael. In terms of the actual Medina, Rav Dessler famously writes that you don't have to be a Tzioni to appreciate the fact that in 1948 something historical happened. And that is that after the destruction of European Jewry, Kodesh Baruch Hu bechemlosoi hagadoylo v'rachmov horabim, bequeathed to Eretz Yisrael, to Tikal Yisrael, a place of refuge where Torah is on a higher level, Ruchnis is on a higher level, Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. And he goes on to say that those who don't appreciate this development, oilahem b'yom atrichecha, like they're going to have to give a dim b'cheshbon and yom adin, right? Not necessarily where you're asking halal on yom atzmaut, you're not saying, that's not the point. The point is, an unbelievable thing happened, and this is a brocha and a kiss from Shomayim, and you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore the fact that this is an unbelievable thing. So it's, again, it's not just appreciating the land and the kedusha and chibas ha'oretz itself, but the fact that in our time, after the destruction of European Jewry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to once again, you know, daven Mother Kosel and to establish yeshivas and mekomes haTorah, and it's unbelievable. It's an amazing thing. So I think at this time we all feel that a bit. We've all got gaguim v'Eretz Yisrael, v'Tosh v'Eretz Yisrael, and that is clearly amongst, you know, what went wrong with the Meraglim, something that was seriously remiss with regard to how they went about their business. Not for us to judge them, other than Voshtet and the Rishonim and the Meforshim, what went wrong with the Meraglim. But one thing is clear, when the dust settles on all the different Mahalchim and understanding what was wrong with the Meraglim, one thing is clear, that they went in and came out with a negative attitude. So a negative attitude doesn't work. Negative attitude is Tisha B'Av, and that's what it was. So Taka, if we look in the Meforshim, there are many shittas that teach us what the Meraglim did wrong, what was the essence of their chet. Barashi already says, Lomo Nismucho Parshas Meraglim Parshas Miriam, what's the juxtaposition at the beginning of this week's Parsha, at the end of last week's Parsha. Rashi says, famously, Roshoim Halalu Rov Lolochu Musa. These Roshoim, whether they were already Roshoim, whether they became Roshoim, but because it seems Anoshim, they were Tzadikim at the time. But the point is that they definitely became Roshoim. Rashi calls them Roshoim. Then in the Siyah Yisrael, they were the Chashuvah Ham, but they became Roshoim. They're Roshoim. Rashi uses Anoshim, what can you do? So these Roshoim saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't learn the lesson. They didn't learn the lesson. Therefore, the two are put together to teach you that this was the fault line. This is where they fell down. Having seen what happened to Miriam at the end of last week's parasha, when she spoke negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu, they should have learned the lesson. So many before us asked the question that it seems a bit harsh, seems a bit unfair, because Miriam was talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. She was talking about her brother. She was talking about a human being with feelings, with a reputation. Right? They were talking about a piece of land. Now, how are they supposed to have learned that just because she became a tzaras and she was punished for speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that they weren't allowed to speak about an inanimate object that doesn't have a reputation, doesn't have any feelings? Fakir, the Gemara says, if the Meraglim were punished for speaking about Eretz Yisrael, we can learn from there, Kal V'Chomer, you can't speak about people. Okay, that's a Kal V'Chomer. But the Meraglim standing in court could have said, Your Honor, with all due respect, this is a Chomer V'Kal. Yeah? We saw what happened to Miriam, but we didn't, you know, extend that, extrapolate that to apply to Eretz Yisrael, so make a taser. So maybe we can provide a mahalach here that brings out a different nekuda. We know Parsha Shoftim that the Torah tells us ki poli mimchodova medom nedom medin nedin divirirbois bishorecha, that if there's a dispute and there's some sort of disagreement that goes on in your community, then you should go and take your case el hashofet asher yia bayomim hohem. You should take it to the judge, to the bezdin, but then it doesn't stop there. It says asher yia bayomim, which is in those days. And we learn from there, the Gemara already teaches that we learn from there that even if it's many years after that generation when that third, when the halacha has been given, long after Ma'amad Har-Sinai, it could be centuries later, every generation has its shoifet, has its shoiftim, has its bezdin, and that is where you should take your dispute. Take it to the chachomim and the shoiftim of that time. And then the pasuk says, a double mitzvah. There's a double mitzvah. First of all, that you should listen to whatever they tell you. That's number one. Whatever the shofet tells you, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to follow what they tell you. And also there's an avera, mitzvah loisa say, to not deviate. You're not allowed to ignore what they tell you as well. That's k'chol asher yoirucha. That you have to do k'chol asher yoirucha, everything that they command you to do. And you also are not v'loisosur, there's an issa to deviate, to not listen. Very, very rare, by the way, to find a mitzvah that's both positive and negative at the same time. We rarely have such a situation. Shabbos arguably is one such case, but even then it's not simultaneously. To have a situation where if you ignore the advice of the Chachomim, you are both being mevatel the asay, effectively, of Asher Yagid Lucha, K'chol Asher Yerucha, and you're also being over the loisa asay of loisosur is unusual. So that's how strong it is. There's a mitzvah, v'mezogt of Yiddish zu folgen, right? And there's also an issa not to follow. And then it says, when it tells you you're not allowed to deviate, loisosu yomen usmoil. You're not allowed to deviate right or left. Not allowed right or left. So before we again pick up that the Torah never just adds in words. Could have just said loisosu, don't deviate. You know, when you have a driving lesson, the instructor says stay in your lane. It doesn't say don't veer into the right lane, don't veer into the left lane. Just stick to your lane. Could have said k'chol asher yerucha. What's or loisosu? What's yomen usmoil? So Gashi from the Sifri. Even if the Chochem tells you your right is your left and your left is your right, they are right and you are wrong. Much more so if they tell you your right is your right and your left is your left. Even if the Chochem tells you something that's completely counterintuitive and goes against everything that you know, I mean, everybody knows their right from their left. I know some kids struggle with it when they're very young, but eventually we come to shul in the morning, just say, one second, which side am I putting my tefillin on? You know by now, it's the right hand, left hand, that's right. No, pick up a coast, make kiddush, left hand, right hand, you know you're right from your left. And yet here, we're being told that even if the Chochem tells you your right is your left is your right. Pshat in this I heard from Rav Motcha Druk, I remember him saying, he said, really, ad kedei kach, that the Chochem tells you your right is your left? Well, I mean, why should that be the case? Especially if it tells me halacha, it tells me hadrocha, it tells me how to be a yerei shamayim. Beseder, if he's telling me black is white, white is, again, color is not a good example. But right and left, two complete opposites. It tells me fire is water, water is fire. Would you tell me the same thing? Hot is cold, cold is hot. What? So he said a beautiful thing. The stunning insight. So notice, the Torah doesn't tell you that if the Chochem says Mizrach is Ma'ariv and Ma'ariv is Mizrach, you have to accept the Ma'ariv is Mizrach and Mizrach is Ma'ariv. That's because east and west are objective points. That's east, that's west. That's north-south. That's not debatable. And no Chochem is going to tell you to start davening in the Beis Medrash facing that way. This way is Yerushalayim. I'm not going to tell you that. But right and left are subjective. Right and left are based on your perspective. If I say, that's right, right, you'll tell me, no, it's not. Right's that way. That's because I'm standing here, you're standing there. Rav Druk said, the vote about Chachomim is that they have a perspective that we don't have. They can see things that we can't see, and they can see things from an angle that we can't see it. From where we're positioned, we will shrei chai v'kayom, that's right. But if we would come around to where they're standing, all of a sudden right becomes left. So even if they say right is left, we have to accept that we can't see what they can see, and we have to accept what they're saying. That's how far Amud Chachomim goes. But we might think, yeah, that's the Nevi'im, and that's maybe Chazal, Chachomim, the Gemara of that time. But today, but in Ramban state, so the famous Ramban in Baba Basra, Daf Yud Beis, the Ramban says, based on the Gemara there, where the Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was Chorav, so Nevuah left the world, there was no more Nevuah. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no more Nevuah. The Gemara says, even though the Nevuah of the Nevi'im was removed, but not the Nevuah of the Chachamim. That continued. So Gemara says, it's the same thing. So then the Chacham is the Novi. I mean, what's the difference? If you take Nevuah away from this person and another person has it, then he's the Novi. What's Pshat? The Nevuah of Chachamim is there, but the Nevuah of Nevi is not there. So the Rabban says, Pshat, there are two types of Nevuah, there are two types of prophecy. There's the old classic prophecy, which is through Mara and Chidos and Chazoin, and that's how the old Nevi'im, so the Nevi'im of Tanakh, of Nach, that's what they saw. That taka stopped. But there's something called Nevuah Derech Chochmah. A person can achieve Nevuah through their wisdom, and that never stopped. And that doesn't stop until the end of time. And every Chochm and every Doer is able, says the Ramban, to achieve that level of Nevuah. Alidei Ruach HaKodesh HaBikirboi. That's the Lashon of the Ramban. Through his Ruach HaKodesh, that's when he can achieve Nevuah. Nevuah meaning that they can see and understand and, so to speak, download information that no one else has access to. This is what it means in Munas Chacham. When we look at the end of last week's parashah Baalosecha, it's very, very interesting to see what's going on over there. You've got Aaron and Miriam, and they're having a discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls them out. He calls them, all three of them out, then he separates the two from Moshe. What does he tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Sorry, what does he tell Miriam? We tell Miriam. He says, what are you doing? And this rebuke seems very difficult to understand at first. Because if according to the basic pshat, Miriam is speaking Lashon Hara. And that's what we're taught, and that's where it's called Taras. That's what the kids learn in school. We're speaking Lashon Hara by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was the whole hesped for? What's the whole hesped that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives on Moshe Rabbeinu? You understand who this Moshe Rabbeinu is? First of all, the Torah then says in that point, then how that comes in. Why is it coming now? Why is the Torah giving Moshe Rabbeinu titles? Number one. And number two, do you know who Moshe Rabbeinu is? You have to understand. Every other novi sees it. Do you understand? How can you possibly have spoken out against Moshe Rabbeinu? If it's Lashon Hara, what do you need that drosha for? If Moshe Rabbeinu was a poshut yid, is mutter to speak Lashon Hara? If Moshe Rabbeinu was just a regular person, it would be okay? Well, only because Moshe Rabbeinu is so special, now, therefore she gets tzaraas, it's such a terrible sin. If it's a simple case of Lashon Hara, see, not necessary. Elomai was mizogim that while there is Lashon Hara involved, and that's potentially, I mean, pashtus, that's where the Tiras comes from, there's much more at play here, much more why the whole of Klal Yisrael had to be held back for 7 days. It's not a simple case of Lashon Hara. It's Lashon Hara against the Manigador. It's Lashon Hara against the Godlador. It's a misunderstanding of the conduct of the shofet asheyeh b'yom mohem. That even if he goes yamin, and you're sure that that's smoil, that you're making a fundamental mistake. It's a breakdown in Amunas Chachamim, in the Das Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Miriam. He's telling her, you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here. Bishlem, somebody else, maybe you'd have a right, maybe there's imin ha'teres. So maybe it'd be even mutter. Of a meret of the God Lador, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're talking about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So, du verstehst nicht, beseda. So you don't get it. Over Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays it on. They have to understand who Moshe is. We cannot challenge the authority of the Gedolim. That was the huge mistake. Through Lashon Hara, the fact that she spoke it out made it worse. Memela, if we take it to this week's parasha, I saw in the Sifsei Tzadikim. The Heiliger of Nachum Mendel Rimenov. He uses a loshen with regard to the Meraglim. Again, I don't think it's it's in contrast necessarily to the famous Ramban in this week's parasha and the other Meforshim who are trying to explain where the Meraglim went wrong. But it's an element within the Chet of the Meraglim. Within the Chet of the Meraglim, there's an element that he adds, or he explains, that brings out the same point. Zogdeh, where did the Meraglim go wrong? And we know they went wrong with their Amunah HaKadosh Baruch and all of this, but he says, Lo yehoyo lehem ledabe lifnei Rabba Moshe Rabbeinu Olvashon. Ulechavas died tum lefonov. They shouldn't have come with their opinion, telling you what they thought was better, what they should do, they shouldn't do. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the God Ador. He knows what you should and shouldn't do. It's not for you to come and order the God Ador around, as if you've got an opinion. There's no opinion. Das Torah, that's it. Paket, that's why when it came time to Moshe Rabbeinu actually sending the Meraglim eventually, the Pasuk says, Shlach Lecho, Anoshim. Could have just said, Shlach Anoshim. Shlach Lecho, Ledatcho. Rashi brings some Chazal, Ledatcho. Your Das, Moshe, Das Torah. If they're going to go, ask me with Das Torah. Come to that in a second. Kli Chemdol. So with Das Torah, Shlach Lecho, Ledatcho. Not that you just go and do your own thing. Das Torah. And he continues the Sifse Tzadikim, and he says, "Umize yuchal kol odom likach Musa Haskel." He says, "Every person can take Musa Haskel from this. What happened? Shaloi lintois midivrei Chazal b'shun dover shebo'olam. That a person should never deviate and move away from the words of Chazal with anything. V'gam yizoyim ma'oid b'moyer raboy. And a person should be exceedingly cautious with regard to respect for his rebbe. V'shaloi yaharer achrov klum." This is Das Torah. This is the Munz Chachomim. Das see das. We've got our Sfasemes representative here. And I look through Sfasemes to find it. Often very hard to find the Sfasemes that you're looking for. And I look through Reb Chemi's version. I couldn't find in there either. Obel, in Pasuk state, it's very interesting because we're talking about the Meraglim. And the word Meraglim does not appear in Parshas Meraglim. You have to get to Parshas Devorim to find Vayiraglu Oiso. In this week's Parsha, it's Loshen V'yosuru Seretz Kanaan. V'yosuru. V'yosuru stayed in Svarim, I saw that this in the Kedushas Levi, but I think it's also in the Sfasemes. V'yosuru is Loshen of Torah. That they should have gone into Eretz Yisrael with a Das Torah, with a cook of Torah, but instead, Vayiraglu, Loshen of Rogil. They turned into something without Torah, just a regular teva, like we're going spying out the land, you know, like an Israeli UAV, you know, just you know, do surveillance over some Iranian nuclear plant. No, that's Vayiraglu. They turned Vyosuru into Vayiraglu. Had they gone in Vyosuru, Shlach Lecho Ledatcho, the Das Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Memela, but they reduced it. I've got a Ha'ora, it's my own shout for now, until I find who says it. It might be even true. We know that David HaMelech, in two of his kapitlach, goes through the history of Klal Yisrael going through the Midbar, and kapitel Kuvov, the Loshon of the Pasuk is Vayimoasu be'eretz chemdo, lo he'eminu l'dvoroi, that's Pasuk of Dalet, that they rejected this wonderful land. Lo he'eminu l'dvoroi, they didn't believe in his word. And then the next Pasuk says Vayirogim ba'aleim, lo yishomu b'kol Hashem. So the basic pshat, possible pshat is that they rejected the land and they didn't believe in Hashem. They didn't believe in Hashem. And then again, the next pasuk, v'lo yishomu b'kol Hashem. Bahat shveh, why does it say lo yishomu l'dvoroi? And then the next pasuk says lo yishomu b'kol Hashem. It should say lo yishomu l'dvar Hashem, lo yishomu b'kol Hashem. Or in both pasukim, it should say lo yishomu l'dvoroi, lo yishomu b'kol. Why does it say lo yishomu l'dvoroi in the first pasuk and lo yishomu b'kol Hashem in the second pasuk? Maybe one can say, Luli de Mistafina to say a pshat, that Loheminu Lidvora is not talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And Loshamu B'Kol Hashem is talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's Emunas Hashem and there's Emunas Chachomin. The second pasuk is talking about their failure and their Emunas Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said we're going into Eretz Yisrael. The failure in the first pasuk is referring to the fact that they didn't follow Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't believe Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu. They went for a second opinion. They said to Moshe, we hear what you're saying, that the Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful Eretz Yisrael, but we'd just like to check it out. And I have a bit of a riot that this could be pshat. Because we find, and this Rav Druk was saying this in the other shir, where he was talking about the Munas Chachomim, he was saying, if you look throughout history, the biggest tragedies were a breakdown in the Munas Chachomim. Our biggest failures were when we did not follow Das Torah. Right from the beginning, Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava, what happens? Medrash tells us what happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Chava says, you know what? I'm going to be frum, and I'm not even going to touch the Eitz Hadas. Again, the Nochosh convinced her, I'm not even going to touch the Eitz Hadas. The Nochosh then pushes Chava against the Eitz Hadas. She doesn't die. The Nochosh says, you see, the whole thing is not true. She then gives it to Adam to eat, and the worst thing happens, right? Misa comes to the world, everything is, the whole thing is one big failure, right? What should Chava have done? You've got a chiddush. You want to come up with a psak halacha? You want to put an extra get there? Also, siok lator, speak to the god lador, who at that time happened to be Adam. There wasn't anyone else. But it was a god lador, because Chava Adam was god lador. Shaul and Shmuel is the same thing. Shaul and Shmuel. Right? Shaul makes a cheshman. Shaul says, what? A kodesh baruch hu's, eh? He's telling me to wipe out the whole of Amalek, and the men, the women, the children, everybody. Nah. When I'm a cheshbon, I'm going to be kind. Shmuel comes along and says, meh, koil atzoin. What's going on over here? And when Shaul realizes this mistake, vozok then, what does he say to Shmuel Anovi? Ki ovarti es pi Hashem ve es devorecha. And that's the haftorah of that parasha. I've transgressed your word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorry, yeah, your word. And your word, Shmuel. Well, how did you transgress Shmuel's word? Shmuel's talking about Hashem. Das Torah. Very nice cheshbon. Obed Das Torah. He should have gone to Shmuel Anovi, the God Lador, and said, I have this aura, what do you think? Because without that, there's negias and it's not possible. So, the fact that that's the title and the post of Isaac Hashem is Tavarach, or maybe could also be Pshat Tehillim, Lehloi Heminu Ledvoroi, and also Lehshomu Bekor Hashem. But that explains the connection between Parshas Miriam and Parshas Meraglim, because both of them are effectively a deficiency in the acceptance of the authority of the Das Torah of that time. Miriam challenging Moshe with regard to Isho Kushis Lokoch, and the Meraglim, Rishoim Halalu, Rohu, saw what happens when you challenge the authority of the God Lador. The Lord Chumusa didn't realize that they should have done the same. Just follow Das Torah. Asur Nikichem, though, where he says that when they came back from the mission, Vayahas Kolev, the Pasuk says, Vayahas Kolev is Ha'om, that Kolev had to quieten the people down. Shh, quiet. Rashi famously says, he got them to listen. They thought he was on their side, and then he turned around and gave them the Musa. Obe Efrekt, but the people weren't speaking. What's the Vayahas? There was no, you don't have to go shum, people are talking. You know, we got Shushkab and Shul, people talk, they weren't talking. So what's Vayahas, Kolev, and so on? Where do you find the people were talking, making a racket that Kolev had to quieten them down? So, why is it the Om? It wasn't even the Om, it was the Meraglim. They should have talked to the Meraglim. Why is he talking to the Om? See, he brings on the Sopurno, who says, Kolib realized, we have a klal, the Gemara says, Shatz Shator, Shlech Tzibu Shator, Simin Ra L'Sholchov. If a Shlech Tzibu makes a mistake, it's a Simin Ra L'Sholchov. Right, it's a bad sign for the Kehillah. If he made, probably means a serious, or the more serious the mistake, the more, Simin Ra L'Sholchov. Because it's their fault. He's the Shlech Tzibu. So, Dr. Sipurna, what happened was with the Meraglim was that when they made this colossal mistake, so clearly it's the people's fault because they are the representatives of the people. Had the Meraglim been the Shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecho Ledatcho, and gone with that Emunas Chachomim, gone with that Das Torah, they would not have made the mistake. They would have come back with a positive report. The fact that they came back with a negative report is a raya, there's something wrong with the Shulchim. So therefore, Vayas Kolev is on. Yeah. The Rambam state, I have to finish, but the Rambam state in Hilchos Deis that the most important middah, of course, is Anova, because when a person is a Balgaiva, in Ani Behu Yichol Lod Madarachas, the Gemara says, that arrogance and haughtiness keeps Hashem out, and a person can't have a munad, which is why Paroi is the greatest koifer, because he's also the greatest balgaiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest ma'amin because he is the greatest onov. In other words, people say, but how can we trust the Chachomim if they tell me Yomin is small and small is Yomin? So Rav Dessler, Ba'arich is Godel, and in many, many different places, talks about the Yesoid of Negius, and how the more a person is obsessed with themselves, the less they can see the MS, and how important it is to break Negius down in order to see the truth. So the greater the Onov, the greater the clarity, and that's why Moshe had the highest clarity. That's what Kodesh Baruch was telling Miriam and Aaron in last week's parasha, and therefore the pasuk v'yish Moshe onov ma'od mikol ha'odim asher al pnei ha'adam was not out of place. Do you know why Moshe has this clarity? Do you know why he has aspaklara mihira? Do you know why he doesn't see things in some sort of tamuno or bechidos, but he sees things clearly? Because he's an onov ma'od. That is the yesoid of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is the yesoid of every god of Torah. We all know that. And if anyone who's been in the presence of any of our gedolim, the thing that strikes you first, before you've even heard their godless and their goyness and their luishkeit and their learning, all of that, is the incredible, phenomenal humility, made nothing of themselves. So therefore the whole drosha at the end of last week's parasha is the perfect sort of introduction to this week's parasha. They had the meraglim taken their own negias to one side, I've forgotten about themselves. I've gone the datzchol, das torim, and the sechomim. Then, as the Kli Chemdol says, and they never would have made a mistake because they would have been the shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's only by Yask Kol Yisrael because he realized that something must have gone wrong. That they weren't going up Yidas Moshe; they were going rather up Yidas Atzmon. And that comes back to the Sifsei Tzadikim. It says, "Mizayuch Kol Odom Rekach Musa Haskel." A person should be zoyed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vishmo Odom Ma'oti Be'Pi Rabbeinu Bal Yetsi Midvorov Bal Sosei Klal. Good job. Good job.
Yeah.